Welcome to My Therapist Is Out, an open space therapy collective podcast. We are your hub for queer and trans mental health care. Each episode, we talk with one of our open space therapists or LGBTQ community member about mental health and building community. I am your host, Renee Johnson, they, them. Founder of Open Space Therapy Collective, I'm a licensed therapist and an art therapist. I specialize in working with queer artists who are exploring their gender identity and recovering from complex trauma. This week, we're talking with Jenny Nigro, they, them. Jenny is an associate therapist with Open Space Therapy Collective. Jenny specializes in working with queer adults and older adults who struggle to understand their identity and behaviors and who desire to gain confidence and release shame from their past experiences. As we dive into today's topic, please keep in mind that this is a mental health podcast. We will talk about sensitive and difficult issues that are not appropriate for all audiences. Please take care while listening. Welcome back to My Therapist Is Out. This week is a little bit different. It's a light one and a heavy one at the same time. We talk about misgendering and ways to approach being misgendered, how to ask for support, how to correct people, how to blow it off if it's not even something you want to deal with. Jenny Nigro is one of our therapists who's fantastic, also an agendered person. And so the two of us really dive into some of our experiences of that, ways that we ask for support when it's really tough, ways that we make fun or tease people, when there's a correction that needs to be made, and just dive into it. I really do want to note, like, this is a very personal thing for each person. So there's not a, you have to do it this way or you can't do it that way. You got to find the right rhythm for you. And so as Jenny and I are talking, we're really talking from our personal experience and how we approach these things. And that's not going to work for everybody. So we would also really love to hear from you guys how you correct pronouns, how you introduce pronouns, when it's funny to do and when it's fun to do and when it's really tough to do. I think there's a really rich conversation in here to have with our bigger non-binary and trans community. So we'd really love to hear from you. Comment below, send us a DM at one of the socials. Always happy to get an email from you, info@openspacetherapycollective. And let's dive in and talk about getting misgendered. Okay, welcome to My Therapist Is Out, an Open Space Therapy Collective podcast. We have our therapist, Jenny Nigro, back with us today to talk about misgendering. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. Great. I'm feeling very affirmed at this moment.
Ooh, that's lovely.
I know.
What's making you feel so affirmed?
You are.
Oh, yes. That's adorable. Thank you. Okay, so what about misgendering? Had you interested in talking about this topic?
Mm-hmm. Misgendering is an interesting topic because you can kind of notice it as like little or as much as, not necessarily as you want, but depending on the space you're in, depending on the people you're around, depending mm-hmm. on how you yourself are feeling, the awareness and impact of misgendering can shift so dramatically.
Yeah.
So I'm just interested in unpacking that a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm realizing, oh, this may be a more like deeper topic than I thought it was going to be, but let's dive in. So what baseline mm-hmm. for somebody who has just heard about this, maybe once on a TikTok, what is misgendering? How can it look or sound like?
Mm-hmm. Misgendering can be speaking to or referring to someone with gendered language that does not align with their identity. Mm-hmm. English and a lot of other languages can be very gendered in the ways we refer to people, in the terms we use that we associate with one of two, like, diametrically opposed genders. Mm-hmm. Of course, all of these things are completely made up. So when you are speaking to or about someone and you use terms that are tied to a gender that does not align with who they are, that is misgendering. Mm-hmm. And it can be relatively innocuous, like in just casual conversation, using like a collective term for a group of people that is specifically female, mm-hmm. Like saying ladies, mm-hmm. like assuming that everyone's a lady, or it can be very targeted, you know, intentionally using the person's wrong pronouns or refusing to sort of adapt or understand or try to incorporate their pronouns mm-hmm. into your language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big range.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big range.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, and we'll get into it, but like you're saying, there's a big difference between like a casual, accidental, ignorant mm-hmm. misgendering and a malicious, mm-hmm. intentional misgendering. What is your personal experience with being misgendered as mm-hmm. a gendered person yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I know this is something that you must come across all the time. What does it often look like for you? What does it feel like for you?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's often very casual. You know, being referred to as a woman in a group of women, or someone just casually saying like, yes, ma'am, or like, thanks, girl, mm-hmm. or like whatever, you know, the case may be. And in those cases, I don't take, like, I it's not personal to me, you know, it's a phrase, mm-hmm. it's a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Would they use that phrase with someone more masculine presenting? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But for me and for like my own self-preservation, I let those ones go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, everyone's individual choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who is saying it, I might call it out.
Mm-hmm.
I might offer an alternative word, mm-hmm. which, you know, we could talk later about really creative, like non-gendered words to use.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel great. But it feels expected, which is sad.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when someone doesn't do that, it makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big swing in the other direction
yeah.
is real.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. How, and we get a lot of clients coming in wanting to talk about how to mm-hmm. handle this, mm-hmm. right? And we'll get into the myriad of ways of doing it, but what are you seeing for yourself or for clients and how being misgendered so frequently, casually or intentionally, mm-hmm. is affecting their mental health?
It has a big impact on our mental health, on my mental health, on clients' mental health. Just like anything where you are constantly surrounded by sort of the inverse of how you would like to be existing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very stressful. It's just like those tiny little pinpricks every single day, or just feeling like you're not fully above water. It's, you know, you're not, it's not like dramatically damaging in big ways,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a very like slow, oppressive, just sad way to try to live in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see that a lot with clients. And it's something that does come up very often. You know, I'm feeling this way. I don't know why. Like everything in my life is going well. You know, I have work. My health is good. Family's good. Like
mm-hmm.
I've got queer friends. I'm, you know, living my life. But like, why do I still have these feelings of depression or anxiety or stress? And part of that could be just living in a world where you're always being misgendered, and it, because it's so casual and unintentional, you're not noticing that you're just like breathing polluted air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that example of breathing polluted air, because it's just really thick.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, in our like bigger culture, we don't have language, or it's not mm-hmm. built in yet to check pronouns, check gender, mm-hmm. those things in casual encounters.
Mm-hmm.
What about for experiences where it's more malicious?
Mm. I think though, well, I should say fortunately for me, I haven't encountered very many malicious. I mean, there's a lot of like willful ignorance, mm-hmm. you know, like refusing to engage, mm-hmm. which I guess is sort of malicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely on the malicious side of...
Yeah. Yeah. It's not benign because there's a choice being made.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be more like, you know, you've explicitly had a conversation with someone about your gender, about your pronouns, and they continue to misgender you. Mm-hmm. They continue to not display any awareness that they're doing anything wrong, or they indicate through their words or demeanor that they don't care, that they're harming you in this way. Mm-hmm. So I think... And then there's the other type of situation where we're anticipating a negative response, so people don't even express to others mm-hmm. what their pronouns or their gender is mm-hmm. because there's just that assumption that it's not going to be accepted mm-hmm. or that someone is going to have a negative reaction, mm-hmm. treat you differently, which is a very valid fear. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to recognize that, like, that's another way that people are harmed by mm-hmm. not even being able to express their gender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there. I mean, a very recent example of this is my partner was walking our dog down the path, and there's somebody, an older gentleman that mm-hmm. we see riding his bike all of the time, and he asked my partner, "Oh, how's your lady friend?" And my partner was like, "Oh, they actually use they, them pronouns." And the guy was just like, "Oh, I'm too old to even understand what that means." Yeah. Just like, one, I'm glad I wasn't there because I wouldn't have handled that well. but those kind of flippant...
Dismissive.
Yeah, really
yeah.
make a big difference. And that voice I think a lot of us have is, am I queer enough? Am I trans enough? Mm-hmm. Is this real? Am I making this up? Mm-hmm. Like really gets accentuated or wreaks havoc when you're around people who are actively choosing mm-hmm. to not acknowledge that part of you. Mm-hmm. So what are some ways to protect yourself? Like whether casual or mm-hmm. malicious or this fake casual situation, yeah. like what, how are some ways that you approach it?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me personally, I think for a lot of people, it depends on who is doing the misgendering. Mm-hmm. If it is a total stranger, I do not engage. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not worth it for me mm-hmm. personally to be in that stressful situation with someone who I'm not going to change their mind in one encounter and I'm never going to see them again. If it's people that I know, say coworkers, friends, casual acquaintances, or, you know, I sometimes will use humor because that's just my default. And to me, I guess it's like a way of like reminding them, but couching it in humor mm-hmm. so that like it's part of my unconscious way of wanting them to not be upset that they potentially offended me. Mm. So it's these mental gymnastics that we go through when like gauging a situation, the safety, the impact that we're having, which then you start to think, well, why am I do even care? Because this person isn't thinking about the impact they're having on me. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, that's the queer brain in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really tough with, especially with like those coworkers or casual mm-hmm. acquaintances. There's part of it that, okay, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They mm-hmm. weren't thinking about it. Okay. And remind them. Yeah. And then it's also like, but why weren't they thinking about it? Like, do they mm-hmm. not care? Is mm-hmm. it this chosen ignorance? Is it, it just happened? And it's never going to help you to get stuck in that loop.
No.
And making that choice of how you bring it up. Like, mm-hmm. okay, am I going to offer this person some wiggle room? And like, make a joke about it mm-hmm. to make it a softer landing? Mm-hmm. Or do I need to be like, that is not my pronoun, this is my pronoun,
right.
and be more firm with it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough decision.
It's very tough. And a lot of times I will just land somewhere in the middle and just do a quick correction.
Mm-hmm.
No explanation, no surrounding anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just they move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it doesn't need to be bigger.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, and if...
It doesn't. It's like if someone referred to me as the wrong age, I'd be like, well, actually, I'm almost 40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm fine. Who cares?
What about when it's malicious?
When it's malicious, again, deal with it in whatever way feels safest for you. I find it safest to step away momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Pause, check in with myself, you know, is there anything, you know, what am I feeling at this moment? Is there anything else that's influencing? What can I do to self-soothe a little bit? Because protecting yourself is always going to be the priority mm-hmm. over correcting someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Protect, then correct.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. When and how do you gauge... Mm-hmm. when it's time mm-hmm. to correct and when it's time to just be like, fuck it, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. If the person shows some remorse, if they are generally a reasonable human being, like, I think it's great to follow up with them later, like, you know, probably in a private setting.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something I would do in a group of people. Follow up with them later and say something like, I'm sure you didn't mean to, but just a reminder, my pronouns are they, them, mm-hmm. or I know it was really busy back there. There was a lot going on, but just wanted to make sure you know I don't identify as a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see how it goes from there. I did actually, you know, I had to do this in a class not even a year ago.
Hmm.
The professor... It was a class of all of the other participants except me were cis women. And the professor made some like offhand comment like, oh, it's just wonderful to come in and see all you women here, like ready to discuss community building. When I heard, you know, at first I was like, eh. And then I internally just sort of calmed down, sat through the rest of the class, the whole time thinking about, like, mm-hmm. what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Like, should I walk out the door? Should I go up to her? Should I write her an email? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I did not take any, like, I didn't retain anything from that class. I decided, like, if I don't say it to her now, I'm probably not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask an ally I have in the class to stay back with me.
Mm-hmm.
And on my way out, I just said, thank you for class. I just want to let you know that I don't identify as a woman. So it's hard for me when I hear those general comments. Her reaction was a little, it was very, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, okay, I don't.
Yeah.
Need that.
Mm-hmm.
I just need you to acknowledge it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that I said something, but it was hard because I didn't get to even fully finish expressing the thought mm-hmm. before she jumped in with her apology.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is an important ally
mm-hmm.
moment in mm-hmm. when you accidentally misgender somebody. I know I've done it a million times.
Same. Oh, same.
Will continue mm-hmm. by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in this scenario, your classmate
mm-hmm.
is there with you being an ally, mm-hmm. and this professor had the opportunity to do that,
mm-hmm.
and both of them handled it very differently.
Yes.
What, can you talk a little bit more about the difference in the way that, like, your classmate versus the professor showed allyship?
That is so good. Thank you for asking that. I would say that my classmate paid attention to what I needed, whereas the professor was paying attention to what she needed. Mm-hmm. My classmate, yeah, understood that I didn't need someone to jump in or say anything on my behalf. I just needed someone there next to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all. That's all I needed. I think sometimes, you know, in the pursuit of allyship, people can overcomplicate a little bit. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, I just want to know that you're supporting me and that you're there. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to, like, well, I don't need you to, like, give a dissertation.
Yeah.
On this. And I think that as people grow in their allyship, they do start to understand that better. Mm-hmm. And that's always really, that feels supportive to me. Mm-hmm. And again, it's going to be different for everyone. That's why as an ally, you ask, what do you need?
Great point. And I think that a lot of allies in this arena and in others, mm-hmm. get really confused and feel like they have to perform allyship, kind of like your professor is doing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I would never, and oh my God, I'm so sorry, and whatever. It's like, well, no, now you're just responding to your anxiety, mm-hmm. versus responding to the person that's standing in front of you. Mm-hmm. And the performance is a great example of you're taking up space that belongs to somebody else. Mm-hmm. If you are performing and telling, mm-hmm. the trans person, the person of color, whatever the situation, mm-hmm. is, about yourself and what you would and wouldn't do, you've lost the plot.
Yeah.
You've completely lost the plot.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Well, let me back up. Waiting for you to finish your sentence. And
thank
then,
you.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't check. I'll be on top of that moving forward. Yeah. Done. That's it. Leave it alone. And that actually speaks more volumes to allyship and validating somebody than turning around and acting out of anxiety and talking about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems obvious, but it's,
I know,
it's not.
And I'm glad you explained it. And when I do correct someone, it's like 50% for me and 50% for every other, like, person who's being misgendered and every other student who's going to be in your class. Mm-hmm. And, like, every other, you know, queer human you're going to cross, mm-hmm. going to come across in your lifetime, mm-hmm. which there will be infinite. Mm-hmm. I'm not just bringing this to your attention because you hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I need you to be aware of this for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also, like, I mean, sometimes feelings get hurt.
Yeah.
And often it's different than that. It's not like, oh, you hurt my feelings. It's like, this is problematic and it's taking me out of myself.
Yes.
This is where, like, dissociation can kick in and, mm-hmm. getting stuck in, like, fuck, how am I going to bring this up later? Mm-hmm. And you miss the entire class. So it's not just like my feelings are hurt. It's more than that.
It is. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, we answered that question already. What, how, like, in this way, mm-hmm. in allyship, whether it's, you're with your trans friend who may be very different than you are. Like, you and I are both trans people and we are very different personalities. Mm-hmm. How do you check in with your trans friend to know how to support them? Especially if it's in the middle of watching them getting misgendered.
That is a really tough question. And again, not a one size all fits answer. For sure. One size all fits answer.
I got you. I know what you meant.
Yeah, but those aren't the words in the right order. What's one that? Size fits all answer. I said one size.
I'm dyslexic, man.
So when I said it flips, you heard it correctly.
Yeah. Worked for me.
I guess it depends on how well you know your friend. Mm-hmm. If you already know what they need in those moments. Mm-hmm. I have had friends ask me, like, if that happens, what would you like me to do? Mm-hmm. Like, ahead of time, mm-hmm. you know, preemptively. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I do. Even if what I need is going to change moment to moment, mm-hmm. I love that you asked. I love that you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
I love that you care about me enough to want to do something. Mm-hmm. Even if what I want you to do is nothing.
Yeah.
That's great. Like, it makes me happy that you're respecting that.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of the ways you might advocate for someone when they're being misgendered would be to check in with them, like, ostensibly about something else. Mm-hmm. Hey, can I ask you, can I talk to you over here for a second? Is this okay with you? What support do you need?
Yeah.
I personally, like, express a lot on my face. Mm-hmm. So if one of my good friends is looking at my face, they're gonna know.
Yeah.
Like, they're gonna know if I'm okay or not. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it will be clear. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, can either try to support me feeling like I can advocate for myself, or they can just kind of be like, oh, you mean they? Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't need a whole presentation.
No.
I never want that.
I don't know anybody who does.
Nobody does. Another way you can support a friend when they're being misgendered is also not necessarily focusing on the misgendering. Mm-hmm. You know, do you need a hug? Do you want some water? Do you want to take a walk? Mm-hmm. Those, like, regulating, self-soothing things, mm-hmm, that can just make people feel safe in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't always have to be about, you know, it doesn't always have to be about the misgendering. I mean, it's about the misgendering, but the response can just be like a simple act of care.
Yeah. Yeah, because that connection and care is the base,
yeah,
of whatever you're going to do, mm-hmm, or whatever is needed in that moment. Mm-hmm. What do you think we're missing here? What is helpful for somebody who's experiencing a lot of, mm-hmm, misgendering to keep in mind as they kind of continue down this journey?
Mm-hmm. I think there's always going to be that tension between how much is it a thing where I need to build my self-care and my resources, and how much do I need to be able to push back and express and educate and support people in learning more. And that's something, you know, I think about all the time. At the end of the day, like, it's not our role to, like, you should never feel obligated, mm-hmm, to educate someone about this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you feel safe, it can be a great opportunity, mm-hmm, to support someone, to support someone's growth. Mm-hmm. Maybe they really just don't know. Like, maybe they really just don't know. So again, checking in with yourself in the moment. And there can also be some people find, like, visualizations helpful. Mm. So one that I like to do is just imagining, like, a barrier between you and the person who's misgendering you. Mm-hmm. It can be constructed of anything you want. It can be like a transparent bubble. It can be a brick wall. It can be a cloud. It can be a rhinoceros, whatever. The point is, it's impenetrable from them to you. So whatever sort of intent they have is not penetrating to you. Mm-hmm. And just visualizing that helps to reinforce that there's that distance, so that when you do get misgendered, because it's still going to happen,
yeah,
it doesn't cut in so deeply. Mm-hmm. It's not going to necessarily, hopefully, ruin your day. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes if you're feeling, like, very fragile, like, one wrong thing and, you know, you start crying. That's, yeah, like, that's very real. They're like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, like, it's not you, it's just everything. Like, yes, society at large is transphobic and misogynistic and cis privileged. I can't let it harm my little, mm-hmm, queer heart. Mm-hmm. Like, or I mean, it will probably, but we can just try to lessen the impact.
Yeah. There is a podcast that's not running anymore, but, mm-hmm, I think it's still up, by Gemma Deller, who, in the first couple episodes, at least the first 10, mm-hmm. They have a visualization walkthrough. And mm-hmm. I think that the episode title is something about like protecting yourself as an empath mm-hmm. or something like mm-hmm. that. And I think that, and I send this to clients a lot because mm-hmm. the way that Gemma walks through the visualization is similar to what you're talking about. It's just like envisioning like a clear protective ribbon like
yeah.
around you and kind yeah. of instantly just wrapping you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's really beautiful and really aligns with what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought of something else. And you can help me workshop this. But protect, correct, connect.
Oh.
Or should it be protect, connect, correct?
I think it depends on the circumstance.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a friend that's, like, had a slip.
Yeah.
Connect away.
Yeah.
If it's somebody that you're not sure about.
Right.
Correct, and then see if...
You want to connect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I feel like there's a shirt with this coming on okay. at some point.
I mean, tomorrow maybe. Yeah. There yeah. is.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and talking about this. Of course, this is from our point of view, and it's different for everybody who is a gender expansive person, and you got to check in on what you need and what's good and true for you in that moment. And there's mm-hmm. never going to be anything wrong to do or not to do if you're coming from that place. Mm-hmm. So switching gears a little bit, what is a moment of queer connection for you that you've experienced recently?
A moment of queer connection. Last week I went to get a haircut.
Looks great.
Oh, thank you. I paused so that you would say that, but you took too long. And my barber was a queer trans person. And I didn't have to explain too much what I wanted. And they didn't use any gendered language. They didn't say any, like, I was able to feel like a normal person getting a haircut.
It's awesome.
And that is so rare. Like, I don't remember ever feeling like a normal person getting a haircut. Mm-hmm. It's always been so anxiety provoking for me, whether it's because I had longer hair and that didn't feel right, or I hated what they did no matter what, or I would ask for, you know, this, mm-hmm. but the person wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did I have a really affirming experience and connection with my queer barber, they charged me less than what the listed price was. And I was like, yes, this is.
Nice.
So it felt really good.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We will be back in 2 weeks. You can always find us at openspacetherapycollective.com on all of the socials and at our website at openspacetherapycollective.com, which I just repeated again. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining us. If you're in California and looking for a therapist, visit our website at openspacetherapycollective.com and book a free intro call with one of our therapists. If you're enjoying My Therapist Is Out, please rate, review, and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. My Therapist Is Out is an Open Space Therapy Collective podcast. Our therapists are Renee Johnson, Kristen Crow, Debbie White, Jenny Nigro, and Tara Friedman. Our podcast editing is done by Smash and Grab Studio. We'd love to hear from you about today's topic, so you can email us at info@openspacetherapycollective.com. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at My Therapist Is Out and Open Space Therapy Collective. Thanks for listening.